97.1 a ticket, open lines. So Tom Pelissero reporting that the Seahawks have made a trade, sending linebacker Jerome Baker and a fourth round pick to the Titans for linebacker Ernest Jones the fourth, according to sources. That is breaking news at this hour. And as you know, we process with all topics. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Well, what it could mean for us is a further extension of something we've already talked about, and that is the sell-off in Tennessee. Harold Landry, come on down. Could that be happening in 3-2-1? Could it be?
Could be.
I think he is. Look, the Hassan Reddick last week, I said I thought was the most accessible player. Accessible. Turns out he went back to the Jets. It wasn't a prediction that they would get him. I just thought if you're going to make a splash, you try and figure out which teams are really ready to move on from a player. Really ready to start the sell-off.
I still think you can go get Reddick if you want. All that's happened is he's agreed to go back to the Jets.
Now, that would be interesting.
Yeah, but they also agreed to not fine him and take back all the fines. And I think that was... maybe, you know, like $12 million I think he had racked up at this point, which is crazy.
But if you could find a way to still, okay, if that's part of, and you can still find a trade partner? I'm just saying.
He's just saying.
I'm just saying. If you feel like going after him, you can still go after him.
I guess you could go after him. I just was going, I think the accessibility has gone down. But I think for Landry, it feels like it's only going up.
The Titans are like, dude, Ernest Jones, they just traded for him this year.
He's a leading tackler.
He was the leading tackler for the Rams last year. And so the fact that he got traded not once but twice now, and I feel like the Titans seem like they are selling, right? Like, this is over.
Yep. Hello.
Get on the phone.
Simon.
Pick up the phone.
Simon, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Simon?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hey.
One moment. I'll go ahead and get you off Bluetooth.
That'd be nice, yeah.
Yep, I wanted to call about the Lions. I heard caller Greg a little bit earlier. I genuinely like caller Greg. He seems like a friendly guy, and it's cool that you've helped him become a rational fan rather than an emotional fanatic. With that said, the recommendation he made about handling, polishing up the defense from within and leaning on the offense, I kind of found to be a little bit too simplistic. Now, as the Lions march toward a potential Super Bowl, yes, the offense is going to be the driving factor. Something to keep in mind, though, one of the main reasons why they're humming along so well is that Jared Goff has been typically very comfortable. And the Lions cannot, capital C, capital every other letter, they cannot let other quarterbacks be that comfortable moving forward. It's good that they got the win Sunday. Mm-hmm. You get every win you can. But still, it was very demonstrably evident that the pass rush was underwhelming. And the Vikings didn't gash him. You know, Jefferson specifically, 80 yards, one touchdown. That's borderline pedestrian. So it's good that he was contained overall. But Darnold just had too many coffee and donut snaps. Some of the big plays they did get, he was just too cushy too often. And addressing that from within, or doing something modest, I don't think that's going to be enough.
I don't think so either. Look, it's nice that they won the game, and the four sacks, it was more than it didn't feel like a four sack game, which isn't a huge total, but it's also not an embarrassingly like a paltry total either. Here's the deal though. There were way too many dropback and get comfortable dropbacks for Sam Darnold.
I saw a statistic that showed one of these next gen stats.
Yep.
That showed that the Lions' fastest sack in that game was from Nowaski on the last play of the game.
Yeah.
And it was 4.5 seconds. Every sack, the other three sacks were slower than that. You think about that. He had 4.5 seconds to throw the football before he got hit for the sack.
Yeah.
That's a ton of time. So even though this is why I go back and look at when people say, well, they had four sacks last week. Yeah. And I'm glad they had four sacks because they were coverage sacks. It tells you that the secondary was doing their job, not that the defensive line was getting pressure all day on the quarterback, because that was not the case.
So statistics matter in football, not necessarily as much. I mean, in baseball, I think numbers could tell pretty much the entire story. Football, you need a lot of eye tests, and the eye test Sunday, man, they miss Aiden, and yeah, they got to replace him.
Yeah, and they're going to not replace him, and they're going to go get somebody to join this team externally. I firmly believe that after what Dan Campbell had to say yesterday. I firmly believe that.
Well, the sleep at the wheel comment that we got, and I don't want to overplay it. One person just said, hey, they're asleep at the wheel while these other trades are going on. I just don't think it's accurate. I don't think Dan Campbell would tell us he's looked at a couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go again. I don't think he'd say he's looked at a couple of things if the organization was, quote unquote, asleep at the wheel. By the way, the hockey game last night, the Red Wing game.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Red Wings get the puck out of their own zone from like the end of the first period to the beginning of the third period, or was that just me? I was watching that game and I'm like, so we're going to spend the entire second period in our own zone. Is that what we're doing here?
Well, when you end up with, 10 shots on net? 10 shots on net. That's it. 10 shots. One of them found the way home. That would tell you that it seems like the opposition had the puck in the Detroit zone for quite a bit, or a neutral zone. And that was the case. Alex Lyon stopped 28 shots, earned a shutout. It was a 1-0 game, his fourth shutout of his career. And a really nice effort from him because he made a couple of spectacular saves. And yet I thought the defense was – they did a decent job in a game. And you don't get to a shutout without having some help from the D. And they did play well. But offensively, you know, they're still working through these new line combinations and trying to figure it out. I hope that's what it is. You know, Patrick Kane got the goal last night, his first of the year. Tarasenko assisted on it. So you know, that's a new line formation. What concerns me is that we're not seeing Larkin, DeBrincat, Raymond – lighten it up just yet.
No, look, Ken Daniels, this made its way out there on social media. Per Ken Daniels on the Detroit broadcast, the Red Wings' 10 shots is the fewest in a victory since 1959.
Is that a long time?
And it's so funny because I wasn't looking at the shot total until late in the second period, and I swear it was at 6.
At one point, it was like 12-7.
Yeah.
Like in favor of the Islanders, but wasn't that, it was not too much of a disparity there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up being 28-10. Like what?
Yep. It was just a wild, tilted ice kind of situation.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah. Was shoot the puck guy there? Was he not there?
Well, it was in New York, so.
But they must have missed him.
Different, yeah, yes. Right. That happens in Detroit. There's no question. Shoot the puck guy is going
to
be
there. You need to shoot the puck guy.
Shut it!
They did not shoot the puck.
They did not.
No.
Or at least get the puck on net to count as a shot. That's the other thing. Like there's shot attempts and there's actual shots.
There is a difference.
Yes.
248-539-9797. Tim's in Royal Oak and on 97 to take it. Hi, Tim.
Hey, howdy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I watched that game last night and they need a couple of defensemen who are real good puck handlers who have the foresight to hang on to the puck for an extra split second so that the play opens up instead of flipping it around the boards. And I know that Sherratt's doing better, but Sherratt and Petrie, man, they need to do a better job of hanging on to the puck and making a play. Agreed?
And yes and no. It's funny because you mentioned Sherratt and Petrie, and when I noticed it, it was Simon Edvinson that did it, and it was I was, you know, going, well, there's a young player making a young player play, but yeah, you know, I don't know that it's, I'm not trying to coach the Wings over here, but yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of offense generated, but it was Edvinson where I twice in a game thought, well, that's a dangerous dangerous clear.
Yeah, well, they'll learn. He'll figure it out. We're starting to see Edvinson and Sider playing together too, which is kind of fun to see the two big defensemen out there. And you know, they're still trying to find the right rotation of defensemen, the right pairings. You know, when Gustafsson playing and Johansson playing, and you've got a lot of guys to shuffle in and out. So I suspect that this is still going to be growing pains for the next week or so, couple weeks. But hopefully when they come out of it, we're going to start to see that the number one line is playing like a number one line. Because right now they're not. They're just not getting enough pucks in the net. Maybe some of that is the opposition they played. But it felt like those games against the Rangers, the Red Wings didn't get shots off because everything was deflected. Everything in front was contested. And there was some of that last night, too. Again, it's 10 shots on goal, but how many shots did they attempt?